Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Everybody, it's Saturday morning, it's 10 a.m. Central Time. That means it's time to go behind the blue curtain. I'm your host, Stan Mason. Once again, for you guys that are just joining, this is not a Republican or Democrat show. This is not a black or white show, a right or wrong show, a pro-blue, anti-blue show. This is a show where we have hard discussions on hard topics. And here, everybody's opinion is welcome. No one's opinion is greater than anyone else's. In here, titles are totally worthless. That means police chiefs, politicians, officers, procrastinators, neighborhood leaders, if you got a title or a comma behind your name with a whole bunch of letters, we certainly welcome your facts and your experiences. But you know what? We got people that are living through the very conditions that we talk about. We talk about things in here where our expert witnesses are the marginalized. They're the people who never seem to be invited to the committee meetings. They're the people who never seem to be up front and allowed to talk. They're the police officers who have to go out on the street and enforce some BS policy that they had no input in, and had somebody given them some input, they find out that this program that works 9 to 5 doesn't work after midnight. You know, they're the homeless people who would say, hey, this is what we really need, instead of all of us who have homes and have food guessing what they need. This is about giving back, giving knowledge, giving your experience, and ultimately it's solution-oriented. You may hear some colorful metaphors, expletives, better known as curse words, now and then. Please, not the N-word, the B-word, the C-word. We're going to keep them out, and please try to not drop any F-bombs. I know it's hard, but, you know, try not to. If you call in 646-716-4621, press 1. I'll see that you have a question, and we'll get you right up, and we'll get you on. When you come in here, you're in the barbershop. You know, you're not limited to 5 seconds to ask a question and hang up. We want to have dialogue here. This is where we can take our time and have some good discussion. Don't worry about if you sound radio or you sound professional. I'm not a professional. I didn't go to school for this. I'm not interested so much in how everything sounds as that we're real about what we do. Okay, on here, for those of you listening, we do not dress the issues up to make them palatable to some folks who have been in a position to affect change and have done nothing. So in other words, you may be callers, or I may do it myself, but we're going to speak about it the way it is. And, you know, this is not the comfort zone up here. This is not your grandfather's radio station. You know, you may want to tune somewhere else. If you got your feelings on your sleeve, you might not want to bring them in here. This is not a pro-Democrat, anti-Republican, pro-Trump, pro-Obama, anti-Obama, all that mess. I don't bring it up in here because that's an endless circle that doesn't get anywhere. You know, in here, if somebody has relevance to a point, we'll name that. But this is not, you know, don't bring your Trump stamps or your Obama stickers in here. In here, we're going to keep it real. Because the ultimate goal is to vent and solutions. I'd rather people come on here and vent than to go out there and do something stupid. We try to bring topics that are relevant in reference to police reform, community relations, and race relations. That's what we focus on up here. So I'm not really interested in anybody's political opinions, political views. I'm not going to discuss Trump and ongoing investigations. So with all that being said, this week, one of the things I wanted to talk about, and we're going to get to next week, we're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick and Nike and police reform and what he's doing. So that's going to be next week's show, and we're going to hit it. So, you know, everybody can load up for that one. But this week, I wanted to talk about a topic that is intriguing to me, and it's almost like a legal hostage situation. You have these people, whether we call them undocumented workers, illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, they got so many names, sometimes you don't know what to call them. These are some people that are affected by a series of laws that we have here in this country. And it's really strange that we call them laws because, you know, I mean, I look at them really as almost anti-Mexican laws. And I'm going by here in Texas and what I see pretty much in the Southwest. And somebody will say, well, you know, here he goes. You know, that's what, no, I'm just going to be real about it. You know, if we look around and you say immigration laws, no matter what state you go in this country, the first thing everybody's going to think of is Mexicans. Like, they're the only people in the world that are coming to this country illegal. So then when we send law enforcement out and we say, okay, we want you to go out and enforce our immigration laws, what has been programmed into everybody? Go get these brown people that are coming from south of the border. You know, and that seems to be where a lot of the focus is. And if you don't believe me, I'll ask you, when is the last time you saw the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Russian kids sitting in concentration camps or summer camps or whatever they want to call them away from their parents? You know, where are the Chinese kids? Where are the Koreans, the Nigerians, Pakistanis, Japanese, Polish, Irish, et cetera? We can go all the way down the line. We don't see those, not to any great degree. So if we're going to enforce these immigration laws that we have on the books, let's go all the way across the board with them. Now, we can build a wall. Want to build the wall? Build the wall. But let me ask you this. All these Chinese and Koreans and Irish and Polish and all these other people, they're not coming up through Mexico. So if we're going to do immigration reform, let's do it equal and across the board. And I was talking with a friend of mine about this, and he kind of disagreed with me, but he was on the fence. I said, well, let me ask you this. What if I go out to work tonight and say, you know what, I'm stopping everybody with blonde hair and blue eyes. I'd have to start here at the house with my wife. But if I said I'm going to stop all of them and I'm going to ID them, and the only thing I'm going to say to them is, I need to see your ID. I need to see your papers. That sounds like Nazi Germany. I guarantee you that before I got off my shift, there'd be a flood of complaints at the police department. Then I'm out there picking on white people. That's exactly what would come in. And if I said, no, I want to make sure they're not an illegal Russian or they're not an illegal Polish person or Italian person, and oh, you're being ridiculous. That's exactly what will come back. So what I'm saying is we need to step back and look at how we're enforcing these immigration laws. And I got a real special guest that's on with me today, Hope Stockham. She's here in Waco, Texas, strong, strong advocate for immigration reform here. I'm going to bring her on right quick. Good morning, Hope. Are you here?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Go ahead and introduce yourself and talk to us. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and your interest and how you picked up on what you're doing, and tell your story.
Yeah, so my name's Hope Mustakim. I've been in Waco since 2009. I came here for a summer internship at Mission Waco. It's a nonprofit here that it's an urban, they call it an urban ministry. And so I just got sucked into the Waco vortex, and I just fell in love with this town for all the reasons that you don't really see publicized. And so I've been here since 2009, went to school at Baylor, transferred. I was an education major, so I was already, you know, I love public schools, I love kids. And I switched over to social work whenever I came to Baylor and to Waco. And just wanted to work with families, wanted to work just helping people find the resources they needed and stuff. And then in 2011, as I was right in the middle of my undergraduate studies at Baylor in social work, my husband was unexpectedly detained and almost deported by immigration and customs enforcement. So ICE, that was the first time we had ever even heard of the agency called ICE. And he's an immigrant for the past 20 years, had a green card. And so, but he was, like you said, he was an Asian immigrant from Singapore. And so we never really had an interaction with ICE before. We didn't have close enough relationships with a whole lot of Hispanic or Latino people. So we just didn't know that fear that was there until, you know, he was sitting inside of a detention center for 10 months. But thankfully, I had access to a lot of resources, people with good knowledge, and just, of course, we're both English at first language. Both college educated, and we had a lot of privilege in this situation. And so after 10 months, we won a really impossible case thanks to some attorneys and, like I said, just lots of advocates across the nation. But that's where I fell in love with community organizing. That's when I saw the power of people. And we just had a little group based out of Waco, 300 people, folks from his home, from his second hometown, you know, here in the States, North Texas, and then people from my hometown in Lafayette, Louisiana. and just all came together mostly through Facebook and just rallied around him, wrote letters, and just everything that you do that an organizer would do. Now, looking back, I see that that's exactly what I do now is deportation defense, and it just happened real organically, and we won his case. But when we got to know the stories of people in the detention center, he was on the inside, you know, hearing hundreds of stories of these men coming through the detention center being deported, and I was on the outside just meeting the families and hearing their stories, and I mean, it was just tragic. It broke my heart, and I vowed that I would never walk away from that situation and leave them behind and forget the people who didn't have all the privilege and who didn't have all the connections we did, and who really, I mean, my husband had a previous drug charge from before he got clean and got into recovery. And so for me to look at these other families, most of them had no interaction with the criminal justice system at all, and they were being deported. And so I was like, I saw how wildly unjust it was that so many families were being ripped from their home, being deported back to a place they hadn't been in decades, especially with Dreamers. I just couldn't believe that in this country we'd be deporting youth who have only known the United States as their home, and who we've invested in as a country and who have been invested themselves into this country. So I've been running alongside the Waco Dream Act Alliance since 2011. That was when I was introduced to this little ragtag group that started at Mennonite Church here in town. And they were just doing some work. They were doing rallies and vigils and education series and just about the Dream Act. And I jumped on board and have been along for the ride since 2011. And it's morphed into now what is the Waco Immigrants Alliance, because we're fighting for more than the Dream Act. You know, we're still fighting for comprehensive reform. And turns out that, you know, my passion for that just grew and grew. And a couple months ago, wrote a grant and it was funded. And so now I'm blessed. I get to do this work and fight for families and for change and for policy change full time now in Waco. And so, yeah, I feel really fortunate that I get to do this and help families and help try to change some systems as my full time job now.
Right. You know what? I'm going to throw something out there, Hope, because you threw out a lot, and that's deep. And mm-hmm. I know we got a lot of listeners. Some may not know about immigration reform and customs mm-hmm. enforcement. So, you know, what we need, let's dispel some rumors. So I looked up some mm-hmm. facts, and these are from the Center for American Progress. And it said mm-hmm. that immigrants are becoming homeowners at a faster rate than the U.S. born population. From 1994 right. to 2015, immigrant homeownership rose 2.3%. percentage mm-hmm. points, while U.S.-born home ownership remained flat. You know, mm-hmm. University of Washington estimates that immigrants contribute $3.7 trillion to housing markets nationwide, and that the working-class immigrant-headed households with income less than 200% of the federal poverty line rely less on public benefits and social mm-hmm. services than comparable U.S.-born households. Now, this is for the people that say, well, these illegals are coming here, and all they're doing is yeah. sucking up air. In 2015, mm-hmm. working-class immigrant-headed households with children received 9.3% of their overall income from public programs such as Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program and 15% of their income from such programs. Research consistently shows that working-class immigrants use social mm-hmm. programs such as Medicaid and Supplemental Security Income at a similar or lower rate than native-born households.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
yeah.
I think a lot of people are washed up in facts. And, you know, I get on here sometime, and sometimes you just get at a loss for words. And like I said, you just can't dress stuff up a lot of times. And it's just there's so much bullshit clouded into this that people mm-hmm. just get where they don't want to study it. And if you really get down and look at the facts, you find that a lot of these things that you're being told about immigrants are not true. They simply
mm-hmm.
are not true.
Mm-hmm.
And people are
absolutely
off of ghost comments.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's super frustrating whenever you actually look at the facts. And, you know, then you hear people going on and on and on. And you just want to say, stop. Do you even know what the facts are? And the minute you throw some facts at them, you know, from places, from these sources that are unbiased, they're not partisan, and they're still like, oh, that's fake news, you know? And I'm like, well, there's no winning with some people who honestly, sometimes they don't want to see the truth. They want to hold on to their biases. They want to hold on to what makes them feel better, that they're being persecuted, because just because life, you know, whenever you start off on the upside of the playing field and it's tilted in your favor and things start getting more balanced, you know, equitable, you know, some people start feeling like they're being oppressed simply because they don't have the advantage anymore. And so you just see a lot of people who want some excuse or someone to blame their misfortunes on. And it's just like the rest, you know, you just got to get on the boat with everybody else. Like, sometimes there's struggles. Sometimes you get told no. Sometimes it's hard. But really, if there's anyone that we need to look at who's ripping us off, it's not our neighbors and the other rest of the 99% of people down here just trying to make money and, you know, raise a family or whatever. Like, you got to look up and see the people who are hoarding all the wealth and who are keeping the rest of us oppressed and every different way. You know, you have, like, mostly, I'm from South Louisiana, so you have, like, the working poor, you have white poor people, like, just people who are angry. And so anytime, I have to come at it real carefully nowadays and just be, you know, humanize the issue and be like, look, I know I'm not going to tell people they're racist anymore. I'm not going to flat out tell them that. But just sit with it, like, just walk with them through, like, how they're feeling. And then really say, do you really think, you know, all immigrants are this way? Like, what do I? And then when they really get down to it, they're like, well, no, you know, I know that. But I'm just feeling this kind of way. And, you know, just helping people see, like, just like you would do anything for your kids, just like you would do anything to keep them safe, give them opportunity, get them away from danger. You know, these are the same kind of families. And they're like, yeah, I know. But and then we start talking about immigration policy, because once they realize, okay, I get it, people want safety, they want opportunity, they need to get away from gang violence, you know, why don't they do it the legal way? I say, okay, well, we're going somewhere now. You know, as it will really, for the majority of people who come here without papers, they don't have a legal pathway to they don't have a pathway. The wait for a sibling is 25 years. If you're coming from Mexico, even from Singapore, it's 25 years to bring your sibling over. If you're a first-generation Mexican, the wait's over 100 years. That means you're not coming, you know. So we've got to reform our laws.
We do. And let's you know, this is the kind of show we're not giving outs here. You know, I'm going to say this. You know, there are very few people in America that are racist and don't know they are. Okay, I'm not giving them the you know, we're not going to get into the, well, I'm going to be socially polite. You know, no. We're going to, you know what, if you're racist, you know you are. No matter what color you are, nobody has to tell you. You already know that. That's why you do what you do. Now, let's go on and set this story back down that folks can get this so they don't get twisted. And if you want to tune out and go somewhere else, that's fine. I'm not worried about it. But you know what? Unless you're Mexican, American Indians, or slaves that were brought over here without choice, guess what? You're an immigrant. You are an immigrant. You didn't discover America. Stop it. Let's stop that lie right now. Columbus didn't discover America, okay? Because you can't discover someplace that has people living there when you get there. So that's craziness.
Mm-hmm.
So now that takes us all into a place of equality. Once we can dispel that lie, let's stop feeding that lie. Columbus discovered America. No, it was already here. So once that lockdown, now we're all on equal footing. Okay, and most of the people aren't asking for anything extra. They're just saying, give me a chance. Give me the same chance we gave the Chinese when we said, come build the railroad on the West Coast and we'll pay you a sub-poverty sum.
Yep.
You know, we've got folks in this country that for all intents and purposes, whether they want to call them undocumented, legal, whatever, they serve in the military and come back as heroes.
Yeah.
And this thing, we haven't learned anything. I swear to God, America, this is the most hard-headed-ass country. You know what? If we go back and we look at the wars where black folks couldn't vote, couldn't sit at lunch counters, couldn't ride the bus here, they went over and freed them. Wasn't too many black folks in Germany. Went over there, freed, did all that, were treated well and treated as citizens, came back here, couldn't vote, and ran into the same mess. Okay, we overcome that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have America has a short memory, and I'm going to call this out, and I'm going to let you go ahead and go from here because you got a caller waiting, but I'm going to say this, and folks can get twisted. I'm going to say it so they can't get mad at you and say that you're saying it. They can get mad at me because I paid for this. I ain't worried about it. You know what? We got a group of folks here in America, and like I said, don't get mad at me. Look in the mirror and Suck it up if you listen or you troll later or somebody says, listen to what he said, and you listen, whatever. We got a group of people here that are looking at the browning of America. Suck it up.
Yes.
Get ready for it. Because if global warming don't do it, interracial marriage is going to do it. But you know what? We're looking at the browning of America. So you might as well get over it. Most of y'all are not going to be, the hardcore racists won't be alive when it happens anyway. You know, so you won't have to deal with us till we all get to heaven or we all get to hell. Wherever it is that we go, you're going to see some people different from you there. You know, do whatever you do there. That's what's fueling a lot of this, the fear of losing control. And will these people do to us what we have done to them? And this is not all white people. So let's not paint that with the brush where this is the anti-white show. No, it is, because I know white folks that are treated just as bad as black folks, Mexican folks. You come from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they folks down there, this is an economic thing. And I'm going to let you go ahead and chime in, Hope. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I echo everything you're saying. It's true. And, I mean, I see it happening all around me. I have family members who just blocked me and my little sister on Facebook because she was posting about Kaepernick and she was, you know, in support of Nike and everything. And, I mean, we have family members that are in the military and who are just getting things twisted, like as if it's about the military. You know, it's hard whenever you have people who don't want to even hear the word racist or they don't even want to understand how their actions affect other people. And so, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's the browning of America. It's going to happen. It's like, why fight? Just, I mean, for those people who are afraid of, oh, crap, they might do back to me what we've been doing to them, get smart and start making friends. I mean, like, why is it so hard? Like, if you're really, it almost feels like they just want to keep conquering, just keep the control, the power, the privilege, and just the ease of life. But really, I mean, look at our country compared to other countries where they don't have things as, quote, easy as us maybe, like, but Finland and other countries, like, they're happy. There's other countries that are much, like Costa Rica, much happier than us because we're just focusing on all the wrong things in this country. And so that's just my soapbox, but because it bleeds over into how we treat the other, how we treat people who aren't like us. If we're always trying to hoard resources and hoard money or safety or security and this whole illusion of what we think we want, I mean, that's what creates this othering where we see other people as a threat who aren't familiar and who don't do life like us or who don't look like us, sound like us. It's because we're trying to protect something that honestly I'm starting to feel is not even worth protecting anymore. Whenever you've got people who can't even express their opinions without being attacked, being shot at, being killed, like, I just, even with, like, even rape culture, I'm like, how, if we're not going to defend people's rights to be protected, like Estella Fajardo here in our local jail, in our detention center, I'm like, for people to not even care that an inmate, pretrial inmate at that, is being sexually assaulted, but they're like, oh, but she's a criminal. How, if that, you, first of all, she's not even convicted. Second of all, people even who have been convicted still have the right to be protected whenever they're in the custody of the jail, of the state or the county. You know, like, how, if we keep treating people like animals, what makes us different than any other country, even a third world country? Like, if we're not seeing humans as humans and, you know, worthy of the same dignity and respect as us, like, the only reason I'm not a criminal is because I never got caught. And so that's just my soapbox about, you know, just this whole life, that the way that we live our life and hyper-capitalism and just focusing on, like, what we think is going to make us happy. But really, look at immigrant culture, man. Just family, food, dancing, and, you know, beer. Like, they just like, living life, making a dollar, just loving their people. I'm like, why? That, for me, that's the America I want, right? Like, that's, I don't want all this tight-laced, just stiff, competitive, you know, angry, empty. No, I love immigrant culture. And I mean, that's the America that I would fight to defend. And so, yeah, that's all I got to say on that.
That's the America that most people in power claim that they want to go back to. I'm going to get in one of your callers real quick that you got. First off, if you guys want to call in, if you're somebody that's going through, you know, some type of immigration situation, the call in number is 646-716-4621. You do not have to say where you're calling from. I'm only going to give your area code and the last four of your number. I don't see any names up here. I just see phone numbers. So you know, you're safe. If you want to come in and tell your story and you're living through this or have been through it, feel free to do that. First caller, 804, area code 8603. Good morning. You're behind the blue curtain. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Good morning, Stan. This is Gus calling from the great 804. I'd like to say to Ms. Hope, thank you for your work with immigrants, but I think it's a little deeper than immigrants coming to this country to take our jobs. As Stan stated earlier, it's the browning of the country. The demographics are changing. The numbers bear that out. And there is no concrete evidence that immigrants are coming to steal our jobs. So that's mm-hmm. The problem is, I think, they're looking at votes. Whoever is mm-hmm. anti-immigrant are looking at votes. And they think that every immigrant that comes across the border, whether, you know, i.e. they're illegal or undocumented, I should say, undocumented or mm-hmm. native-born, that mm-hmm. they are a potential vote for Democrats who typically are voting for the civil rights of all people. So I don't think that it's jobs. So they need to dispel that misnomer. And I think this mm-hmm. country is supposed to be made up of immigrants. We are immigrants. We are diverse. We're a great nation because of our diversity. And the so-called nationalists, that's a new word for racist, but nationalists mm-hmm. are trying to change that narrative. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You're so right. So right. It is, and staying touched on that, too, it is that fear of that browning of America. And gosh, and all we can do is, even if we're pumping out the facts and the truth, it's still in the back of their mind. If they're still holding on to that fear of losing power and control and economic power, everything, I mean, it's like, it almost feels like we're fighting, you know, banging our head against the wall. But I don't even know what to do at this point. I mean, we work a lot with congregations and faith communities and just trying to help people see it through a lens of gospel, or of, like, you know, loving people courageously and boldly, even whenever you have something to lose or something at risk. So sometimes that helps. Sometimes, of course, you go through the religious route, it backfires because of how politics is getting so wrapped up in, you know, shaping how we view religion as opposed to the opposite. And so I just, sometimes it feels hopeless because you're trying to unravel people's fears, you know, all wrapped up in, like, you know, that America's changing. And it's going to keep going that way. And, yeah, the votership, absolutely. That is – but you can't stop it. It's a wave. I mean, it's going to happen, you know. I'm like, let's just make the most of it. And I don't really understand why conservatives or why the right or whatever hasn't caught on to the fact that – so you – if you can, you know, pitch it, like, sell yourself to the immigrant population, this is an opportunity that Republicans are missing to say, like, a lot of Hispanic people – primarily, you know, they're a lot of them are Catholic or religious in some sort, family oriented. A lot of them are anti-abortion, and a lot of them are, like, even sadly homophobic or anti-gay marriage or whatever. And so I'm like, it's ironic to me that you have this demographic that sounds like it would fit in the conservative camp, but because of Republican politics, it's like they're missing it. They're like, you know, against immigration or against immigrants, and are like not working for immigration reform to bring people in legally. And they're missing this whole population that kind of sounds like they would make up part of their base. And I'm like, if you get past the fear and actually look at what's in front of you and the opportunity that's there, I mean, it's really ironic to me. I'm like, they're actually very family oriented people. And for a party that claims to be all about family values, I'm like, that's not true. I call BS on that, because immigrants are family oriented, you know.
You know what, Hope, I agree, but I'm going to say this. I'll throw the Democrats under that bus too, because you know what? I mean, when I look at it, and I'm going to read off some stats right quick that I got from that Center for American Progress. It's right in line with what Gus is talking about. You know, it says the immigrants added, this is in 2016, added an estimated $2 trillion to the U.S. GDP in 2016. Immigrants overrepresented in the labor force and also boost productivity through innovation and entrepreneurship. Unauthorized immigrants contribute significantly to Social Security and Medicare. In 2010, unauthorized immigrants paid $13 billion into Social Security and received only $1 billion in services. A net contribution of $12 billion. From 2000 to 2011, unauthorized immigrants paid $35.1 billion into Medicare. And that's more than they mm-hmm. withdrew. Now, mass deportation of unauthorized workers were to occur in states with the most unauthorized workers, hello, Texas, they would experience the largest declines in GDP. California would lose an estimated $103 billion, or 5% of their annual GDP. Texas would lose $60 billion. New York would lose $40 billion. And New Jersey would lose $26 billion. See, and I read that to say this. See, the way they keep us fighting politically about these issues and not joining together is they don't let us know our worth. They don't want us to know how much we're worth. Black people are struggling under Democratic leadership, just like they're struggling under Republican leadership, although the only difference between some of these leaders is that the Republicans will wear a necktie to the hanging. You know, that's the difference. They won't see, they don't want black people to know that you're $1.3 trillion annually. They want you to waste money on things that don't mean anything and not put your money to power, which is the same thing that's being done with the immigrant population. They don't want you to know what you're worth, because once you know what you're worth, you can now bargain. See, Arizona learned that under Jan Brewer when she came out about 5 years ago and said she wanted all the Hispanics out. They left voluntarily. They went up north. The economy there damn near failed. She had to come back on and beg them to come back. Then they came back and Joe up out on his soapbox with his craziness and wanted to run everybody off again. But Arizona almost fell flat on its face when the Mexican immigrants willingly left. They said, "The hell with it, do it yourself." And then they found out they couldn't do it.
Right.
You know, I get fast going in here, but you know, I mean, you know, we need to empower people. You know, let's let them know their worth.
Yeah.
You have
absolutely
in some of the richest houses in most of the biggest towns. Guess what? Everybody talks about how beautiful that house is. And look at the people cutting the grass. Look at who did the stonework. These are immigrants, but it's amazing. We're ready to throw them in the trash when we feel like we're done using one. I'm going to go down to another caller that you got from the 203 area code 1513. Let me get you in here real quick. Good morning. You're behind the blue curtain. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Stan. This is Charlie. Excellent topic. Thank you, Hope, for discussing what the immigrants from the various nations bring to this country. Now, I'm from up north here in Connecticut. I'm glad what you said, Stan, about the various industries that would be affected, agricultural, manufacturing, landscaping. But I also wanted to bring a point as to the immigrants bring a lot more in developing things. A lot of them, when they come to this country, they bring that business sense. I've seen them work in supermarkets, and eventually over the next 5 years, they own the supermarket. So if they rent from a house, the next 5 years, they not only own the house, they're buying two or three houses on the same blocks. They invest in their communities, and they also purchase in their communities. A lot of other people. Jamaicans, Haitians, they do the same thing. But the one thing that really, really, I guess, disgusts me, when they do have to go to our houses of worship, and I belong to a church that basically is about two-thirds Hispanic, when they have to go to churches after they have been in this country for, like, say, 25 to 30 years, and all of a sudden they find out that they have to leave because one of the spouses is not a citizen after paying into the system for so long, separating of the family and everything like that. Now, I know that there have been legal recourses up here in Connecticut with they just call them workers, undocumented workers, that you can just pick up on the street corner and have you have them do work at your house that you normally would not pay somebody else to do. But they were able to sue. Is there eventually going to be some kind of legal recourse that these people can go through when they've been in this country for so long? They paid into the system through not just having a Social Security number, but having that tax ID number. Do you think that they're going to be able to get some of that money back, especially the families that have been broken up and basically parceled out, like what happened in slavery to the African-American family here? Do you think there's going to be something that is ever going to be able to be done for these people?
I have never seen anyone being able to get any type of benefits or withdraw from the taxes that they've paid in with their tax ID number. I remember the first time I ever saw someone come in. I worked at Wells Fargo years ago, and people came in with tax ID numbers, and they were just they're undocumented sending money back home, and I was amazed that they were allowed to have bank accounts, and they could but then it made sense because they were paying taxes with those tax ID numbers, and then never being able to, you can't get SNAP, you can't get food stamps, you can't get your Social Security, you can't get, it isn't like you can get insurance with it or anything else, and they're just always paying into, Stan, I think you quoted it was like billions into the Social Security fund every year, and they're never, unless they become a citizen, they're never going to be able to withdraw from that, and that's part of like immigration reform is making a pathway to legal status and then citizenship for people, because if they never become a citizen, they'll just keep paying in. And then, politicians or whoever will justify it by saying, oh, well, they're using public roads or they're using, they need to pay in the taxes because they're using, fire department or police. So in some way they'll justify us taking in the money without ever, paying it back out to them when they're older.
Absolutely, Hope. And the other side of it is, and I'll get the Republicans and the Democrats, with the situation with the kids, everybody was outraged at that. And that's, with the kids being separated from the parents. But, all of these tents and all these camps and all these modified Walmarts and everything, people were making money hand over fist. And what aggravates me with this immigration system is how much of it is private. If we got a military, the job is to protect our borders that our tax money pays for. Why are we hiring these private companies to do business that we're paying American federal employees to do? See, that's the bullshit that gets on my nerves. We're already paying a lawn man, and we go out and get a lawn specialist. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. If they're making money off these illegal people, don't you think they're not? Cut my grass and clean my pool till I get tired of you.
Yeah, I'm on the board. Yeah, there's an organization called Grassroots Leadership based out of Austin. They've been doing this work for about 20 years, 25 years, working to end the privatization of prisons and detention centers. And so I'm on their board now, and I've learned so much about the privatization that happens in this country of just people's, liberty, just taking people's liberty away and, people making profit on that, and how much corruption is just embedded in that whole system of for-profit incarceration. I mean, it's just sickening. The company in Southwest Key, who is managing all of these the kids, the detention camps for the children, I mean, their CEO, well, first of all, they call themselves a nonprofit, but their CEO took home over $600,000 in the last year. And I don't understand how a director of a nonprofit organization can sleep at night when you take home that much money for incarcerating children, and just call yourself a nonprofit. And then now coming out, we see all these sexual assault, these children the investigations are happening because it's rampant now, because when you just throw together these camps and then hire a bunch of staff on the cheap, you're going to pay for cheap labor. You're going to get what you pay for. And people come in who are not qualified, not trained or experienced, and they see it as an opportunity. Sometimes you have those people who go in looking for that opportunity, honestly. It's sad but true. And so these children's lives are at risk, and it's just another way that we exploit a vulnerable population, and then we do nothing to defend them. Like you said, it's like, we'll use you for whatever we want, but they come a dime a dozen, so, just toss them out. Like, it's nothing but... we've got to still see the humanity in people, and each and every person, has a plan and a purpose. And it breaks my heart and makes me mad to see that we put dollar signs and bed quotas.
But until we can overcome this Republican and Democrat somehow thinking that one is worse than the other, a bird needs two wings to fly wrong. When a bird gets lost, both wings took them there. And, I was amazing. I don't care whether under Republicans or Democrats. What really amazes me is that every time we deal with one of these immigration crunches, we always have to build a camp. Now, America has more prison than colleges.
Mm-hmm.
We lead the world in incarcerating people. We should be the last ones that need to build any prisons, but every time they go on one of these immigration rushes, they're building a prison and we're going to get a private company to run it.
Yep.
And contract
yep.
it out. And if people look at the Board of Prisons, well, it's going to fall under the Board of Prisons, and they're not a private enterprise. No, they're not. But then now let's look at the people that sit on the board of the company who is running the prison. Let's look at them. Find out where they put their stocks at. Find out who's paying off who under the table. Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma.
Yep.
You know, these immigration prisons, ladies and gentlemen, can be turned into normal prisons for you too, period. You know, they can be.
Yep.
And we're stopping people now in this country just walking down the street. You can be stopped, and it's, I need to see your ID. And we've seen some places, like we saw in Arizona under Joe Arpaio, who went to jail for violating the court order, but they were just stopping people who looked Mexican. Let me see your ID. Now, how many of us here, I don't care if you're black and you're born here, your family's been here two or three generations, you come from slaves, whatever, how many of you have walked out of the house and not had your ID with you? I've done it. I'll be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you think about it, and we can all sit back because it doesn't happen to us that much and say, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But that's the same thing that we'll say about white people when we talk about, you know, how we're racially profiled. We'll blame them because they can't connect to it because it doesn't happen to them as much. And we do the same thing a lot of times with a lot of these illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I stop people that didn't have their ID, and I go, well, man, why don't you have it with you? You know you're supposed to carry this and that. But there are other people that it wouldn't be that easy.
Mm.
It wouldn't be that easy. And this is something that people better stay on top of and stop getting in line with the party line and look at what's right. Because until you turn the heat up on everybody, you got to cook all the crabs in the pot sometimes. You got to cook all of them. Because I think that's the one thing that's keeping us divided on the issue. Do we need to enforce our immigration laws? Absolutely. I'm not against that. But let's do it fairly. And if we're going to do it, let's have a reasonable pathway to citizenship. Now I know I said I'm not going to go there, but I can't go there without – I got to do this. Some folks going to get mad. But Donald Trump's wife came in here on a genius visa. Are you kidding me? Really? What, the genius of love? I mean, she came in here on a genius visa.
Wow.
That's what we used when we brought the Nazi scientists in after the war to work on the space program. They came in on genius visas, and these were Nazis. But we needed them, and they were geniuses, so we made an exception. Well, his wife comes here on a genius visa while he's trying to kick everybody else out.
Yeah, and then the in-laws, right? Her parents came in through the family petition, and then like the chain migration that he's talking about, and he wants to end the family-based immigration. And that's exactly how his his in-laws got here.
But can I add some stand?
Sure.
Not being racist or anything like that, but it always reminds me of John Steinbeck's book, The Grapes of Wrath, which was also made into a movie with Henry Fonda. And it had white people seeking jobs in these farms and picking lettuce and cotton. Well, let's realize one thing today. The immigrants that come from these poor countries are doing the jobs that poor whites will not do. And still will not do. And still will not do. I think the late Anthony Bourdain said that you cannot even field a kitchen staff without illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. And the industries, like I said before, the manufacturing industry, especially the agricultural industry, things that are in our supermarket right now are at a low price. But if you start eliminating these people fully, you're going to be paying $15 or $50 for salads in restaurants. We're going to be paying $10 to $20 for heads of lettuce. I mean, come on, Donald Trump. Those people that you're trying to appeal to, they're not going to do the jobs that these people do. And I think that the former President Obama was on the right path, was let's get these people to citizenship. And what really, really aggravated me was when you had people that were on their way to citizenship that had served in the military And they find out all that time that they did. Now they're being kicked out of the country. This is ridiculous. And these politicians have to reverse these policies right away. It's not fair.
You're right. And you know what? You're appealing to, 46 minus 1 up there. And I'm going to read this again. You go on and deport all these people if you want to. California will lose an estimated $103 billion, or 5% of their annual GDP. And they don't care. California is far left. They're liberals. The hell with California. Okay, Texas, big conservative state. You can get ready to lose $60 billion. New York, $40 billion. New Jersey, $26 billion. See, this is the economic power that people don't want you to know that you have. We as people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, green, I don't care. We've got to stop throwing away our money on worthless things that serve no purpose. Some of us have pretty things, but we're still a failure. We're just a pretty failure, a pretty mess. Some of us take that money that we're worrying about trying to boost our little image and give it to somebody out here who's trying to get to where you were 5 years ago. And when I keep going back to, I always say this, empower people. Don't do what I do. If I help you be the best you can be, where you go do you, then I don't have to fight that battle. Hope doesn't have to fight that battle. That's what we need to do. And then who cares about your political party, your religious preferences, your sexual preferences? That's your personal business. Because when the bullets start flying, when you're in battle, you don't care how nobody voted. When I was in Desert Storm, we didn't turn and ask who voted for Bush. Didn't nobody care? We care, and we want to go home.
Right.
And that's what you got to get back to. You got another caller right quick. Hope I'm going to get in. 469 area code 1656. Good morning. You're behind the blue curtain.
Good morning, Stan. Good morning to your guests that you have on here today and everybody's listening to the show. One thing that I would like to see us do is stop using the king's narrative. And when I mean the king's narrative, I'm talking about the people that's in power. When we have people come into this country and we say they're taking jobs that nobody wants to do, that's the narrative that they've given us. The truth is people are coming into this country and filling jobs that can't be outsourced. Someone that has a foreign land, you can't outsource that to China. You can't outsource that to another country. That has to be done here in America. So the same people that will sit here and tell us the narrative that people are coming here taking jobs that people don't want to do are the same people that are sitting in a powerful situation that are constantly sending jobs to overseas. So which way do you want it? Do you want to keep the jobs here in America and let the Americans fill them? Or do you do what's good for the bottom line and outsource? So once again, people come into this country and take jobs that can't be outsourced. And then they come into the country and a lot of them are educated and they take jobs in positions that threaten those in power because they have the education or the skill level to get in those jobs. That's the truth. That's the facts. They're not afraid of an immigrant from any country coming here taking a job picking peaches or picking green beans. They're afraid of you coming in with an education level superior to what they thought you had, and now you're taking that corner office. And that's the truth.
Well, can't nobody argue with that, Robert. I think it's more of a generational fear because when I was in Japan, the Japanese raised their children to do one thing because there's nowhere to live. You're a boy, you're going to America, you're going to be an engineer. They weren't sending them over here to be NBA players, NFL players, rappers, and nothing else. You're going to go be an engineer.
All of them?
And that family suffered and sacrificed. And they sent their kids here. That kid came here, became an engineer, bought a house, bought land, brought his family over. And then they're like, oh, they're invading. They're not invading. Hell, you lived here your whole life, and you're still living in the same ratty-ass neighborhood for four generations. That person came here from another country on a work visa. I don't care what color they are. Well, they could be Irish. The Irish are a perfect example. The Irish were nothing but white black folks. That's the way this country treated them, like trash.
Yeah.
And they came here, and they built, and they suffered, and they endured the same discrimination and hardship and name-calling that black folks did up north.
Yes, and the problem, Stan, when they talk about when they talk about illegal aliens or undocumented workers. Most of the people don't come across the southern border, and most of the people that they actually are calling undocumented workers is something you touched on in the beginning. It's not the black and brown people that come into the country. It's the people that come into the country to get educated or come into the country on work visas, and once they get here, they don't continue to renew whatever mm-hmm. kind of work status they have or whatever kind of education they have. And mm-hmm. they don't talk about those because those people are contributing a lot of wealth to this country. They pay mm-hmm. what it costs to come here initially. Mm-hmm. Once they get here and they're here for 2 or 3 years or however long it takes for that to run out, they don't go back to those offices and reinstate that paperwork. So they're here going to our colleges, you know, which is their right. They paid the cost mm-hmm. to be here, but they're acceptable immigrants if there's a such thing, you know. But the ones that they feel they come across that they can point the finger at and easily, they're visibly, you know, easily able to identify them as a Hispanic or someone coming from El Salvador or someone coming from Guatemala, those are the ones they continue to point the finger at. Those are the ones they continue to teach good Americans to eventually start to hate because of all the stuff they see on media. And we just taking a banana in the tailpipe. And it's like you said before, if you look at it, people come to this country with good intentions, most of them. Are there some bad apples in there? Absolutely. But there are more bad apples at the top of this food chain than there are at the bottom. And once again, it's just my opinion. Anybody can open up if they want to debate it, if they want to disagree with it. And you know, Rob, yes, sir.
You're right, and you're right on point. But something Hope said earlier, a lot of people didn't catch it, and she alluded to something. I'm going to circle back to it because there's another class of undocumented workers in this country, and see, we don't think about them because they're all colors. And I'm going to tell you exactly who they are. They're these people that we have languishing with these ridiculous ass sentences in prison that are making robocalls and phone calls on behalf of businesses, and they don't have a health plan like business employees should. They're making 25 or 30 cents an hour, maybe, sitting in these prisons. Some of them been in jail so long the prison system don't even know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come out, you're taxing the 25 cents that they're making in jail, and then on top of that, you won't let them vote. So that's taxation without representation. So what does that
yes,
make
sir.
Them? That makes them in crisis as the undocumented worker. So if we're going to get to it, and Hope alluded to it earlier, you can go to jail and lose the right to make a complaint or have an investigation done when something wrong is done against you. And that makes sense to a system that says liberty and justice for all. That's bullshit.
Absolutely.
That is. And like I tell people, don't get, you know, I'm sorry, but this is on this show here, we keep it real. Mm-hmm. It's real on here. You know, there's some people in jail now that's going to, maybe they'll hear this show, and they'll say, damn, these people are thinking about me. They're speaking about my condition. They might have messed up, but guess what? They're paying for their mistakes. There's only three types of people in this world, and everybody listening, including me talking, all of us are one of these three. Those that have been caught, those that are caught up, and those that haven't been caught yet. So ain't nobody down here with their hands holy.
Yes. And Stan, just make one more point, and then I'm going to step back. They're not really concerned about the work that the people do when they come into the country as they are concerned about what they do with the money after they get their paycheck. I'm going to say that one more time. They're not concerned about the work that they do in this country. They're concerned about what they do with their money after they get their paycheck. See, a lot of immigrants come into this country, and they left a family at home that may not have an opportunity to get to America because some of the same rules and regulations and laws that your host and yourself pointed out. So they take care of home. They take care of home. So they're sending money home versus keeping that money circulating in the United States. That's really what the powers that be are upset about. They give us a narrative and say the people don't pay taxes. Well, where do they buy their merchandise when they're here? Because I haven't been able to go into a store here in America and buy a Nike pair of tennis shoes and not pay taxes, or buy an Adidas sweatshirt and not pay taxes, or purchase a house and not have to pay property taxes. So they pay taxes, once again, like you said, without representation. They keep this economy going if they tell us the truth. If you pull every immigrant out of this American ecosystem or this American economy, it would collapse. So they, we need an influx of people coming into the country. Do we want them to come in illegally? Of course, the perfect way is for everybody to come in and do everything step by step by the process. But a lot of those people in powerful positions, if they tell the truth, their family didn't come here legally. They came here broke with nothing. And the system was just in their favor, and they found ways to succeed because they didn't have to have all the stumbling blocks and all of the hurdles in front of them that a lot of these people are having right now. And I'll end with that.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
No, I was just thinking about, you know, all this, how this loops back into what's going on right now in our communities because, you know, we say that we want a pathway and that we need one and that we need reform. But in the meantime, I was just thinking about, you know, Texas and SB 4, Senate Bill 4, and how it, we saw immediately when that came through last year, just like families just going to hiding and people not that just feeling so unwanted, but also so threatened and so scared and targeted. And, you know, just families who aren't even able to go to church anymore because they're afraid of driving, families who aren't, because, I mean, you know, you have a lot of police officers like yourself who are like, you know, I'm not an immigration officer. I'm not trying to be one. And so that's not my job. I'm not going to ask about it. But then you never know when you get that one bad apple that is going to be out on a mission to, you know, to be an immigration agent. And, I mean, we have so many families in our community that they stopped receiving services from early childhood intervention or the mental health, mental retardation, MHMR, just services that were helping improve their family and helping get them stable economically, helping them, like, with financial literacy or whatever it was. And all these things that were helping improve their life and their stability. And then now because of, like, I call it terrorizing our communities, just like these, like SB4, the Show Me Your Papers law, people just had to go retreat back into hiding worse than ever. And just they're scared. And I'm glad that they can listen to something like this and know that there are people out there talking about it who see them, who, you know, understand their plight and who are advocating for them. Because, I mean, it's really sad, and especially in our area. Because we are more conservative than, say, Austin or Dallas or Houston. But to see families going through this and they don't speak, they don't even tell their own neighbors. They don't even tell sometimes their own family that they're undocumented because it could be leveraged against you. People can manipulate you with that. And they're ashamed. So they'll go through this. They'll have family members deported, parents, a father, a mother. And we'll see all of a sudden in a school, you know, little boy loses his, like, all of a sudden dad's not around and his behavior starts changing. But, like, even the teachers sometimes don't even know what's going on because the family keeps it so quiet because they're so ashamed. I'm like, it's not your fault that our immigration laws are so screwed up. You know, it's just, it's really sad that it's, like, the shame, the stigma on them that keeps them so isolated and, you know, and afraid.
Well, you know, it's the priority, too, of how we enforce it at the same time. I mean, MS-13 is a gang, yes. But they're not this incredibly powerful, walking down the street gang. You know what? The Klan is a gang, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The Neo-Nazis are a gang, too. The Aryan Brotherhood, the Bloods, the Crips. We're chasing some MS-13 group of idiots around that, yeah, they're bad boys. It ain't that many of them. What about the Klan? Hell, we'll let the alt-right march down to the county building down there and hold a rally.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at minorities, the Klan and these groups represent more of a threat to me. Now, I'm not worried about ISIS or MS-13. See, it's the manner in which we prioritize these things. The big push came on when the illegal guy killed the girl 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And that's all you saw all over.
Yeah.
That overshadowed Chicago. And it's amazing how 40 people that were shot took a backseat to one little girl who happened to be white that was killed by an illegal alien. Okay, I'm not minimizing what she said because her family handled it right and said don't politicize it. But just this week, we had a white guy kill a young girl, and we ain't heard a peek about it. Now, what if he was illegal? If he was illegal, let's use this to be. So we got to be careful where we get our news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen to what they're not talking about. Everybody's got their talking, but what are they not talking about? How much are these illegal aliens worth, these illegal undocumented people? They're worth a lot of money. They're worth a lot of money. And some of you politicians who want to get rid of all of them, guess what? When you kick them out of the military where they're proudly serving, where you didn't even know going in whether they were undocumented or illegal. You didn't, but you took them, and they went and went to Afghanistan and went to Iraq and went to all these places. Then all of a sudden they come home, and they're not American enough for you. I'll tell you what, the next time you want to start a war, Republicans or Democrats, send your kids over there. Stop sending poor middle-class kids over there to come back disabled with PTSD, and then you're not even going to fulfill your promise and give them mental health care. That's a whole nother show. I can go on that with you.
Right. I was thinking about all the hype I saw, you know, after the Kaepernick ad and Nike and military and people trying to make it about military and everything. And I was like, well, I sure hope if y'all gonna make this about the flag and military, like, are y'all gonna fight this hard for our veterans who are undocumented, who are, you know, like, if you're, oh, it's just so funny how people pick and choose the kind of thing they want to be amped up about.
Right.
And I'm like, I didn't see y'all get this mad whenever I posted about these immigrants who have served numerous times, you know, being sent out to Afghanistan or whatever, and they come back, and now they're being deported or their wives being deported. I don't see y'all getting mad about that disrespect to the military, you know, because why? Because they're an immigrant.
It's so crazy. They shipped a veteran back that was Mexican, and he was here illegally. They shipped him back in a casket on a C-155. With an American flag draped over it, landed here and all the four honors and his coffins came through there with all these other flag draped coffins. Much respect given until somebody found out he was illegal. The American flag comes off. I don't know if they put an American flag on it and shipped his body down to Mexico to back to the family.
Wow.
And these are the things that people start. This MSNBC and Fox, and see, these people are going to tell you what's going to keep you watching them. You know, when you start digging, and if you don't, you say, well, I don't know much about immigration. You know what? You don't have to go far to find somebody who may likely be undocumented. They may not tell you, but sit down and have the discussion with them and listen to what they're telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, I don't have anything in common with these people, well, then you just think of how the runaway slaves felt. Do I trust these white people that are going to take us in? Hello, Quakers. Mm-hmm. Help carry the Underground Railroad. Do I trust them? Do I hide in the woods? I got to sneak here. That's got to be a hell of a life. Do we need immigration laws? Don't anybody say he's totally anti-immigration. No, I'm not. I'm against the way we're doing it. We're doing it by targeting people. It's crazy. We're targeting demographic groups of people. And if people say that's wrong, Charlie, you're up here on the East Coast. Gus, you're up here on the East Coast. Tyrone, you're on the East Coast. There's Russians all over the place up there running around. East Coast is like little Moscow. I ain't seen none of them. All these mail-order brides coming in here, making babies.
Right.
Hey, hello, anchor babies. They come in all colors. And they're all over the East Coast.
Right.
Some of them separated.
Yeah, I heard one time there was a joke about, you know, whenever Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez were dating, and they said, just talking about racial profiling, they said, you know, if Justin and Selena get pulled over in a car by immigration, who's the one who's going to be asked for their papers? And the funny thing is, Selena was born in Texas, Justin's Canadian, but, you know, they're not going to ask him for his papers, they're going to ask the little brown girl. You know, and she's a Texan.
Yeah, here comes the CC word again. America is culturally conditioned to see that which is brown or tan or black as the threat. And that's not a racist thing. We're conditioned as young people to see that. We grow, because there's plenty of black people that are afraid of black people or uncomfortable with black people or brown people with brown people. I mean, and that's obvious. You can look at Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. They're probably bad talk Hispanic people. Worse than the Klan even would mess with them. And they're both Hispanic. So,
yeah,
I mean,
some of our worst. You're right. Some of our worst commentators on our news posts or anything that we publish, you know, local news or anything, sometimes the people that troll the hardest on our posts are like second and third generation immigrant, like primarily Hispanic immigrants, because they don't realize that their family came in during amnesty, or they came in before 1996 and 9/11, and so they don't realize that they came in whenever you could fill out your own papers, turn it in, and come. I mean, whenever my husband immigrated here in 92, his mom did all the paperwork by herself, and it was that easy. And people, they just get the second, third generation and or further, and they just get this attitude about themselves that, like, well, I did it the right way. My family did it the right way. Y'all need it. And they just look down on other people, and they will be the ones, like you said, like Rubio or Cruz or whoever, that they forget where they come from, and they will judge other Latino people so hard and be so cruel. And I'm like, bro, how can you do that to your own people? And it's just that internalized racism or that internalized, you know, anti-Mexican attitude that they've taken on about their own culture.
But, you know, you each culture, you have that even within. People don't want to know history any further than how it impacts them. We all act like when we were born, that's when the history of the world started. And a hell of a lot changed on 9/11. A lot changed with the introduction of Homeland Security and how different things were handled, you know, on the border. It's a lot harder right now. Let me get my ace in the book, Mr. Tyrone K. Dunmore. Your mic is open, Ty. Let me come on in here, chime in here on this.
Well, you know, this may sound strange, but I really am not alarmed, amazed, or really even upset with how, if you want to say, white America or the narrative has been said again over and over again, let's make America great again. I don't really blame them for feeling that way. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we know that the underlying, let's say, energy is fear. Why are they so angry? Why are they so upset? It's genetic manipulation as well as genetically, people are being genetically massacred. And when you go into history and you go back into the not his story, but the story of what happened when people mix, you have some very, let's go back as far as the Spanish Inquisition, because we're always talking about what we call Latinos, which is a farce name, by the way, because Latinos don't speak Latin. Only people that ever spoke Latin was ancient Rome, okay? But they're called Latinos, and they have accepted that name after they was beat over the head through a condition called the Spanish Inquisition, where they were denounced as a danger to the existing powers that be with King, what's her name, Fernanda and Isabel. Do some research. Mm-hmm. Like I said, let's go back to the history and their story. They were denounced because of the danger of the, as you said earlier, Stan, about the Browning. So when you look at why they're fearing, they have a right to be fearful, because if we continue to mix, which we will, because this country was based on, as they call it, let's break down the word immigrant. Do you see the word immigrant? Look at it. Immigrant. Yes, we I'm either a migrant, I came from another place or area of the globe, and I'm coming to America, but I'm a grant. I'm a, what they call request. I'm a consent. I'm fulfilling something that needs to be done here, which some of the other callers spoke about earlier, which is, they needed to work. And that's why when they come here, they give them a green card. A green card. What is green synonymous with? Money.
Money.
So they give them a work visa. They give them a permit allowing what they would call a foreign national to live and work permanently if they follow suit. Here again, we have some background noise, somebody with their phone. I wish somebody
sure
would
move
their phone. It always seemed to start when I talk, but that's okay. I'm used to it now. So they come here, and when they say they, we come here. Let's call the they us. Because as you said earlier, Stan, unless you are the indigenous, tribal, original family people of the Americas, and not just North America, but Central as well as South America. But we're talking about North America right now, as Christopher, I wish to say, because he Columbus, all right. He didn't discover anything. People was already here. And if people don't know that's a fact, then just look at the International Indian Affairs, something like that. There's over 500 something recognized tribes. So they was well here. We all know that. So that's another lie. But we keep they keep feeding a lot of people who don't know his story or their even own story get stuck on the narrative of the stupidity of a story that's not true. Okay? You came here like everybody else. Everybody migrated unless you're from one of those tribes, and then you have to prove your connection with the Seminole, the Cherokee, the Yamasee, the Iroquois, the Mohegan, whatever tribe that you come from, Blackfoot, doesn't matter. So everybody's migrant. They're making migrants or immigrants. What is this? Do we got a troll on here? Every time I open my mouth, I got to hear this background loud noise. Like, really? I know, but I ain't going to stop teaching the truth. So whoever you are, I'm not going to stop teaching the truth. The reality of it is they have a reason to be scared, like I said. Somebody said in prior show, Stan, there's a fear of a black planet. And we're not talking about black people, literally. We're talking about what is conceived to be black, which is not even a color. And what I mean by black is all colors come from what we know and absorb into black. There's a genetic code. They call it the Mendel chart of genetics. And they'll tell you that if you have one drop of what they would call black blood, then you're black. People were called mulattoes. They called them mulattoes. And this is one of the things that fueled white supremacy, white racism, Ku Klux Klan, because they were a fear of mixing of black or any people of any other color other than Europeans mixing in with their daughters, and we could eradicate or eliminate them because our genes would dominate theirs. So they have a reason to be fearful. They have that they say fear is finding evidence appearing real. No, this is finding evidence that is absolutely real. And because once we mix, that they ain't going to be straight blonde hair no more. It ain't going to be straight. It's going to start curling. The tones, the colors are going to be different. All right? Because we have something that was narrated in a BS lie that black people were cursed. When the fact that second to your oxygen in your whole makeup as a human being, carbon is the second most element that all human beings, and I'll repeat, human beings have. The number one thing we all have is oxygen. We're 65% composed of oxygen. The second piece of that is carbon. What is carbon? It's black. You got carbon data. What they do what? To identify how old something is. You have carbon on your printers. You have carbon filters. Anybody into aquariums? You need a carbon filter. So that carbon is a filtration natural system that, as they call it, the cursed people, black people, actually have. Which is the reason why we don't have the problem so much of what is called skin cancer. Because we have a system already built within us because we are, by all accounts, the original human beings on the planet. There is no discrepancy to that. So they fear that mixing, now we can liquid or pretty much, let's say, fuse them out by mixing, and not that we're going to do that. But that's a real fear, as well as the jobs, the intelligence, because now you don't have control over what you would call your immigrants like you had before. See, when you talk about the people who are coming from places like Mexico and these other what they call Latino countries, you're talking about people who came from great nations like the Aztecs, the Mayans, and the Incas. You've got their great stone builders. You're talking about people who are builders that work with stone, people who are great with cleaning, people who are great with, as we say, who's going to do the landscaping. So they have a reason to be scared. They really do. And I'm not saying that we should justify it. Just try to better understand it. And don't be so mad at people because the Mendel Law of Genetics teaches that. It's a scientific fact. That's where they got that two peas in a pod. They don't want certain peas to be in the same pod because they're trying to, and it's only right. They're trying to preserve their existence. That's real. That is real. So divide and conquer will always be part of the narrative to divide people. And I'm not saying we're going to sit and mix with everybody, but I'm just saying that has been one of the big, let's say the oldest game along with prostitution. And a lot of us are being pimped right now. Our minds are being pimped.
Yeah.
Our minds are being pimped. Prostitution is not just opening up your legs and having a thing called
put
sex.
Down
for
to
money.
The end, Ty.
Right. You people are opening up their minds and open up their minds and being slaughtered there as well for money. It's called
yeah.
selling out. It's called
yeah.
the American dream, which is now coming down to an American nightmare if we don't change this media. Last, what we call narrative. They control the masses of the people's thinking. So if you're educated by way of that, and I'm going to end with that, then you are definitely also on drugs. You are addicted to things that they are planting in your head to make you think and feel a certain way toward other human beings on the planet, only because you're going against the grain of what America was built on. People coming here
time.
From all over. And I'm going to end with that, Sam.
Appreciate
Thanks
you,
so
brother,
much.
Because we're getting down to hope where we're at now. What we do is this is the roll call. And what I do is I'll go down through all the people that call, and I'll give them about 45 seconds today because we're running short on time where they can talk about anything they want for 45 seconds. And then when I get down to you, you got 3 minutes to talk about anything that you want to talk about, anything you want us to know, upcoming events, or anything you want to do. So I'm going to start with the 804 area code up there, Big Gus, 8603. 45 seconds, brother. Anything you want to talk about?
All right. First of all, I want to say thank you to Hope for giving us her insight, and a big thank you out to Brother TKD for his always informational commentary, which I appreciate mm-hmm. every time I hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to change somehow. We have to change our narrative because, of course, you know, the Browning, I call it the Browning of America, but we know that the narrative has changed. And I ain't going to call them the right, but the powers that be are going to try everything in their power to change the narrative. And they are definitely, deathly afraid of losing power. And that's why you see a rash of nationalistic stuff, you know, coming into play now. Immigrants has always been a part of this country, and they will always be, even during our lifetime. So, you know, the harder they try to change the demographics of this country, it'll never work because it's too late. It wasn't a European country in the first place. So, you know, they can never change it into another country. That's number one. I never heard of that happening anywhere on the planet where another race came in and just took over the country and it changed the whole demographic. But again, Hope, thank you for your commentary and thank you for your insight on immigration because, it, mm-hmm. you know, it affects you personally. And I want to thank Brother Stan for, you know, giving a great show as always, man. Peace and blessings to all of y'all.
Thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Gus. All right, we're going to drop down 203 area code, 1513, 45 seconds. Charlie, what's up?
Well, again, also thank you very much for your guest Hope and bringing awareness to people out there, not only in your part of the country, but around the world. You know me, I always talk about voting, how important it is, especially your communities out there, especially on your local level and state levels. We'll get to the federal level, hopefully in 2020, but go out there and vote, people. You do make a difference. To the people in Bridgeport, Connecticut, and surrounding areas of Fairfield County, tomorrow at 6 p.m. at McKeeby Park in downtown Bridgeport, we are gathering for 10 days of prayer. Bridgeport, this is the third year that we are doing it. If you want to be a part of your community and help, 40 to 50 churches again are gathering and getting together, trying to bring the awareness of prayer to God or whatever you believe in. So if you want to be part of this, this is a national wave that is starting, and I'd like to say that it started in Bridgeport 3 years ago. Please join us tomorrow starting at 6 p.m., McKeeby Park, downtown Bridgeport, where we are starting 10 days of prayer Bridgeport. After that, we move the next night to New Vision Ministries, and it's 24 hours a day, until the 19th of September. If you feel that you need prayer, you want to pray for your community around the world or whatever's going on, please join us. God bless you, Stan, and especially for what you did. I did see the Nike ad and what people reported on you. God bless you. Thank you, Hope. Have a nice week,
thank
everybody.
You.
Appreciate you, Charlie. All right, we're dropping down to 314 area code, 4644, 45 seconds. Anything you want to talk about?
No, Stan, I just want to say as far as the police, law enforcement, and immigration, actually the Constitution puts that in the federal government's hands. Now, law enforcement can make detains and check on people, but I'm for strong immigration reform. I think there should be protections on not only the southern border, but the northern border, and also those that's coming in through the east and west coast. I think if people on the southern, pardon me?
No, you're right. Go ahead, brother. Take a minute.
Yeah, people on the southern border, that if they feel that they need a baseball bat, if they feel they need a shotgun, if they feel they need a .22 or a BB, a slingshot or a wall, then it's up to the federal government to provide the United States citizens with their protection. I'm for legal immigration. Anyone that's here illegal just got to go. And those kids, well, we're paying $800 a day to house them, and many of them showing up at the border with adults that you don't even know if they are related to these adults. And why would mothers down in the Northern Triangle country, that is El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras, they know what's happening when these kids hit the border. Why are they continuing to put their children through that type of demise? I don't understand it. But that's my opinion.
Well, brother, as always, I appreciate you calling in, man. Get in here earlier because you always bring some sound logic and good advice, man. They need to get you in here a little earlier, man, so you can get on here. I appreciate you taking time out and calling in. All right, at this time, I'm going to drop down. Ty, 45 seconds. Anything you want to talk about, brother? Okay, Tyrone might be off, might have his phone on mute. So at this time, I get to say today that there's always hope. When people say there's no hope, there is hope, because I got Hope on the line. Hope, I'm going to let you take, you got the last 3 or 4 minutes, and you'll be able to take us out here. I want to say personally, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you, you know, working with me, supporting me in everything I do. You know, I'm always there for you. You know, and for y'all that don't, when I got immigration questions, that's who I call. And Hope always comes online. So you got all the time you need. You got about 3 or 4 minutes, Hope. Anything you want to bring us up to and that Waco needs to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just address one thing quickly that the last gentleman said, and that's just this idea of why would a mother send their child up to the border? And since news has gotten back to how we have been treating the children, there has been a drastic decrease in how many children have been coming in unaccompanied. But they were at first sending them in with just the faith and the hope that whenever, you know, they come in, that they would be treated humanely and that they would be, you know, placed with family members who are already here. Because we do have laws that at one point, like the Flores settlement and stuff like that, where it said if children came in unaccompanied, within a certain, I think it was, I believe it was 90 days, they had to be resettled back in with family members who are already here. They, like, the government would work to find where those family members were, and they would place them with. So they were sending, they were allowing children to come up to get them out of. So I mean, I'm serious when I tell you I have close friends, best friends, whose family members have been shipped ahead and fingers cut off, and, you know, to their homes because the gangs or whoever was running the streets at that time wanted money because they knew that they had American family members, you know. So it's a real threat. These women, that we have the Hutto Detention Center here in Taylor, Texas, an hour and a half away. These women are all asylum seekers. And whenever you sit there and just listen to their stories and see their scars, you know, some have been attacked with machetes. So many of them have been sexually abused throughout their lives. And so when you hear why they're coming, it's very real. The threat that they live under every single day is very real, and that would prompt – I mean, it's exactly, you ask yourself, what would it take for me, for one, to flee my home country, but for two, what would it take for me as a parent that I would send my child to go before me, to go be with family members there? And, I mean, it would take something pretty damn bad, and that's exactly what they're going through. And so I'll tell you that there are people who now are saying, you know, they're telling, don't send your children because they're going to put them in cages. So, I mean, it's sad, but the word's getting back on just how cruel, you know, things are towards these kids. But anyway, we don't have a functional immigration system that allows people to come here legally unless you're married, you get married to a citizen. Otherwise, you'll be waiting 10, 20, 50, or 100 years, depending on what country you're coming from and how much we like, you know, people from that country, or pretty much how white you are. And so that's the truth of the matter, is that, you know, if we say we want, you know, tighter borders and this and that, well, you can't have your cake and eat it too, really. You can't have stricter, you know, tighter borders with no reform to the legal immigration system, no really good comprehensive reform, and then want your produce to stay the same price, and then want your hotel stays to stay the same, all your restaurant food, all your construction, all your agriculture. We can't say that we want, you know, all the tighter borders that where people come in through to work, and then at the same, and then not reform the detention system, the deportation, the bed quotas in our jails and our prisons and detention centers. Because even in McLennan County, we have a bed quota in the detention center here, Jack Harwell. I mean, they got to fill those beds. And so we have immigrants who are there on ICE detainers just sitting there languishing. So, you know, we've got to overhaul the system that is allowing people to be exploited, because it isn't like we're actually trying to get rid of all immigrants en masse, because we know how much we need them. And I know personally how much I need them in my life. You know, they're the closest friends and honestly family that I've got. And so I'm just so grateful that we got to be on here today and talk about, we got some facts on, you know, the economy and what they contribute, and the innovative minds and ideas, entrepreneurs that immigrants are. Something crazy, like the majority of the Fortune 500 companies, you know, were started by immigrants. And I mean, we just got to push back against that narrative that says that they're users and takers, and really start pushing for reform. And like one gentleman said, we've got to vote. You've got to vote. Even if you think that immigration doesn't touch on your life because you're not related to any immigrants or anything, it does. It absolutely does on your way of living and your life. If you buy food, if you buy a house, all these things, it affects you. So get out and vote for the kind of America that you want to see, and really think through, do I not only want, you know, this illusion or this sense of security on the southern border, or do I really want my children to grow up in a country where they're not seeing people being vilified and targeted and othered and terrorized just because they're brown? Because I'll tell you that the people who are the most dangerous to our nation, they aren't worried about no wall. They're not coming in through that wall, you know, the border illegally. A lot of the most dangerous people are homegrown here. And, you know, and the people who do want to come in from the outside, I mean, a wall is not going to stop them. So that's just my thoughts on that. We've got a lot of other things like schools that need our money before a massive wall. But in Waco, you know, hit us up with Waco Immigrants Alliance. You can find us on Facebook. Yeah, just search Waco Immigrants Alliance. And then Twitter, Instagram is Waco_IA. Twitter's Waco IA. And stay up to date with all the events that we do, or the next time we have a rally, we'd love to see you out there. And you might be new to the movement, you know, be like, I don't know anything about it, but this is how you learn, and this is how you get involved, and this is how you show support for your neighbors. And we're really working on doing more intersectional work with other groups like the NAACP or other, you know, groups around town. We really have a heart for that, to get more involved in our neighborhood associations and all that. But right now it's a one-woman, two-woman show, and so we're just slowly but surely we're getting more plugged into our neighborhood, and you'll be seeing us around more. Yeah, if anyone has any questions, feel free to hit me up at hope@wacoia.org. So hope, H-O-P-E, at wacoia.org. And just right now we're working real hard to free one woman and one local woman out of our jail. Besides that, we're just trying to build a relationship in the community, make it a safer place for immigrants and for all people, honestly. But that's all I got.
All right, Hope. You know I appreciate you. Love you. You know I'm always a phone call away if you need something. You know I'm there for you.
Thanks so much. You always answer my questions.
I don't know everything, but sometimes I know who to ask that has the right answer. That way it makes me look smart when I'm able to give it to you. But, you know, I just want to reiterate to everybody, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, and sometimes race comes into play. But when we really, really sit down and look at this, this is all about the disappearing middle class. It is dramatically disappearing. And, you know, not the black middle class. Not the white middle class, the middle class. So many of the issues we talk about on this show where we may, some of them will approach them from a race perspective, but it's not that any race owns the problem. You may have a demographic that is the majority of the victimization of the problem, but you know what? All of you listening to my voice right now, if you think that all these prisons being built, that there's not a bed that your ass can wake up in, keep living. Keep living. And this is the thing. The legal system does not care what color you are. Bed spaces are money. If you're middle class and you're poor, guess what? There's a place for you. This is just the way I look at this whole thing playing out is to thin the herd out. And all these illegal people are monkeying up the system because they won't just let them get rid of all of them. We're trying to thin the herd out, get these people down. They want enough people to do the work for a low wage.
Mm-hmm.
And to keep the status quo, keep everything a certain color. That's what seems to be happening. So we're all on one team. It's not a matter of black or white or whatever, because middle class people are being thinned out. You're being bought out. You're being pushed out. You're being priced out. Gentrification. It's happening. We're seeing it every day.
Yes,
so
we are.
Just because it's not happening to you and you can get in your car, you may not think that there's a potential of you being threatened by this particular arena. You can very easily find yourself in it. Like Hope said, there's a lot of dangerous people out here, and building a wall is not going to keep them all out, because the most dangerous people in this country are not the people that are going to come over the wall, around the wall, through the wall. They're the people that are sitting in offices with ties on voting to build the wall. And with that, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. I want to say thank you to Hope and everybody that called in, and Facebook Live crew and everybody that followed me. Appreciate you guys. And next week we're going to talk about Kaepernick and the positions of the stance. And you guys feel free to call in 646-716-4621, and I'll get the show probably up and posted by Tuesday. Love you guys, and we'll holler at y'all next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back, because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.